Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Bob McLean.
Sing me.
Bob McLean.
Yeah, that's his name.
Wear it out.
Bob McLean. Bob McLean. You got us rocking and a rolling, rocking and a reeling. Bob McLean. Bob McLean.
Do you know what day it is?
It's Wednesday.
Is it?
It's Wednesday.
Let's do a show. Let's do a show right now. What are we doing?
The one thing that I've always wanted to do is learn how to be a radio DJ.
Good luck with that.
You're very, very boring.
You have the worst voice I've ever heard.
You're a loser.
Well, good luck in radio.
I don't need luck. I need talent.
Wait, what time is it?
It's showtime.
Oh, yeah, it is. Thank you. Hello, greetings, welcome, salutations, hump day alohas to you. We're just getting started here on the Wednesday edition, Bobby Mack Electric Radio Program. Care for some avocado? It's yummy. That's the keyword for this hour in the $1,000 bankroll contest. If you don't know how to spell it, it's A-V-O-C-A-D-O, avocado. Text that to 72881. Two winners already. Love for you to be the next one. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Just grab your phone. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address is very simply bob@1063word.com. Big show, as Ed Sullivan used to say on Sunday nights on CBS. Really, really big show right here on our stage. In the next hour, Dave Schwartz will be along with our regular segment from Freedom Action Network of South Carolina, talking about the SCDOT pushing their PR campaign, their pothole blitz. That is not exactly a blitzkrieg in terms of getting things done. And then a little bit later, on the lighter side, in the 5 o'clock follies today, joining me as a guest on the phone this afternoon will be Rich Rubino. Rich is a political historian and commentator, and he has a new book called American Politics on the Rocks, The Bizarre Side of American Politics. And we take a look at some notorious political blunders of the past, because if you speak in public and or on the radio and in broadcasting long enough, you are bound at some point to say something untoward that will reflect negatively upon you. And so Rich has compiled a bunch of those, and we'll be sharing those with you. I wonder what's going on. From time to time, I question the Drudge Report and their headlines. You know, they seem to be, I don't know, a little bit of Fox News-ish, and they're getting more left-leaning or something, or I don't know. But the big headline today on Drudge, Pelosi taunts Trump, your State of the Union postponed, exclamation point, as if Pelosi is doing something successful in the ongoing fight over the partial government shutdown. Philip Wegman, writing at the Washington Examiner today, pretty much summed up my feelings exactly when he said, it would be an excellent way to snub any other president, but by calling for President Trump to reschedule the State of the Union, Nancy Pelosi has only given him a bigger stage. It is a remarkable unforced error. I agree. Citing national security and specifically the difficulties facing the Secret Service and the Capitol Police amid the government shutdown, House Speaker Wicked Witch of the West Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, is asking Trump either to select a later post-shutdown date or to submit his comments on State of the Union in writing, which presidents predating me, actually, used to do apparently commonly before the television era, but no one should be fooled. The real concern here is that Trump is going to stand up in front of a gigantic audience and literally point the finger at congressional Democrats in the House chamber, blaming them for shutting down the government. Pelosi has the power to stop Trump from walking into the House and delivering a speech, but, duh, she can't stop him from making his case for the border wall in prime time. Just consider the address he delivered from the Resolute desk last week. The president spoke for roughly 8 minutes. 43.3 million tuned in to watch. Compare that to the president's very first joint address to Congress right after his election, which 48 million people watched. No congressional podium last week, and arguably far less interest in the novelty of his presidency, and yet Trump drew an audience nearly as large. If Pelosi insists, then Trump can speak from the Oval Office again if he likes. He could even march down the National Mall and deliver the speech on Pelosi's doorstep. There could be a band. There could be fireworks. No matter what venue he chooses, there will be an audience, and now it'll probably be bigger thanks to Nancy Pelosi. I don't know if she ran this by the other Dems or not, but boy, is this a stupid idea. Yeah, I thought to myself immediately on seeing this, the president should get Constitution Hall or some other big venue and invite any members of Congress who want to come, which would guarantee the whips in the House and the Senate would make sure that all the Republicans were there, and then the president should do it as a nationally televised address and tell Pelosi and Schumer and the rest of them, here you go. Here's a big crow sandwich. All you Democrats, take a big bite. Just stupid. I love it when the left reveals themselves. There is a radio talk show host. His name is David Webb. And yesterday, he had as his guest CNN legal analyst Areva Martin. And David was talking about how he had gotten to where he is based on his unique talents and skills, and said he'd never really thought much about race as one of the factors for why he has been successful. And the conversation did not go well with Areva following that. Here's the audio.
That's a whole nother long conversation about white privilege and things that you have the privilege of doing that people of color don't have the privilege of.
How do I have the privilege of white privilege?
David, by virtue of being a white male, you have white privilege.
Areva, I hate to break it to you, but you should have been better prepped. I'm black.
Okay.
Boom.
See where she immediately goes? To race. Now, well, you've got this big radio talk show, David Webb, through white privilege. Oh, I do? How did I acquire this through white privilege, Areva, since I am a black man? You let them talk long enough, and they absolutely reveal themselves. You know, every time. Who are the racists here? Who are the people you talk about unity and coming together and then want to divide everybody and to eat these little tiny subgroups, these groups that have various complaints about one thing or the other? they defy what they claim to be in favor of on a daily basis. Quarter after three here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here. When we come back on the other side, we'll catch up with the remainder of the day's news. I want to talk a little bit about William Barr, who apparently is going to cruise to the through his nomination hearings to be the Attorney General. I don't know about this guy. We'll be right back. Well, all right.
Rock on, brother.
Thank you. It's what we do for 4 hours each day, Monday through Friday, here on the Bobby Mac Show. Yours truly, Bobby Mac, in the air chair.
What?
Of course, Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass, pushing the buttons, screening the calls as they come in, and otherwise making sure the trains run on time. And Little Annie in the news center, keeping track of all the breaking news that is going on.
Sounds like a fun crew.
It is a fun crew. It's a little more involved for Annie, of course, because she has to deal with breaking news.
This is breaking news.
This just in, the term breaking news means practically nothing.
Oh, okay, good.
This has been breaking news.
So, fairly evident that President Trump made an error in judgment in his initial selection of Jeff Sessions to be the Attorney General. I, for one, at the time, cheered the appointment because I'd met then-Senator Sessions two or three times, and he'd always impressed me as a straight-shooting conservative guy who would get in there and get to the bottom of what went on with Hillary and Trump and the business with Comey and all the collusion at the FBI and the DOJ. Didn't happen. Now we get William Barr as the president's latest nominee to be attorney general, and during his confirmation hearings that began yesterday, said he was shocked. Shocked, I tell you, after reading anti-Trump messages between former FBI employees Peter Strzok and his paramour, Lisa Page. We're going to start saving the whinny for occasional Cortex, too. Have you noticed her? She kind of looks like Mr. Ed's girlfriend also. Anyway, said he was shocked when he saw those text messages and that he'd never heard of the FBI launching a counterintelligence investigation on a president based on a political decision, as was reported last Friday by the always trustworthy New York Times. Senator Lindsey Graham asked Barr if he was familiar with that story in the Times, saying the FBI opened a counterintelligence investigation into the president. Can you say soft coup? Barr says, yes. Graham asked Barr if he will look into whether this happened. He says, yes. Have you ever heard of such a thing before? And Barr says, no. He also has added, well, you know, this lock her up stuff with Hillary, I'm not down with that. Well, how about before we get to lock her up, we actually have a real investigation into the Clinton Foundation, into Hillary's, in my opinion, felonious use of a private email server that revealed all kinds of national secrets to our enemies. What else? Mr. Barr described as brief a June 2017 meeting with President in which he asked Trump, in which he says Trump asked, how well do you know Bob Mueller? To which Mr. Barr replied, and here's his telling answer. Bob Mueller is a straight shooter and should be dealt with as such. Went on to say he wouldn't do anything to impede Mueller's investigation. I believe the Russians interfered or attempted to interfere with the election, and I think we have to get to the bottom of it. Does that include looking at where the funding for this phony dossier came from Hillary and the Democrat National Committee? Lindsey Graham said that the two, that would be Mr. Barr and Mr. Mueller, were best friends who have known each other for 20 years and that their wives have attended Bible study together. Mueller also attended the weddings of two of Barr's daughters. And you ask me if I have reservations about this guy? Are we going for two Jeff Sessions in a row? Are there no honest men left in Washington other than the one who resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Jeez. Bob Allen from Greer says Trump should definitely just tell Pelosi to go pound sand and just do the State of the Union office a State of the Union message, rather, from the Oval Office or any place else. Now, Bobby Mack, regarding the State of the Union, actually, Nancy's actually making a wise move for herself. She doesn't want the crazy optics of the lunatic freshman, Ocasio-Cortez, Tlaib, etc., making a scene at the State of the Union, nor does she want the optics of angel families being honored by Trump. She's trying to stave off a PR disaster from both sides. She is. That's true enough. She does now find herself in the position of herding cats with occasional Cortex and the Muslim from Michigan and all the rest. Bob, when you played the audio of David Webb explaining to that CNN contributor that he actually was not guilty of white privilege because he was a black guy, you should have used your drop in there that says,
"What?"
Yeah, that should have been her response. What? Bobby, is it true there is an illegal immigrant camp in Pelosi's yard? There was temporarily. Earlier this week, Laura Loomer, who is a conservative activist, took some people she described as illegals, and they put up a sanctuary tent in Pelosi's yard. They jumped over the wall that surrounds Pelosi's home. Did I mention Pelosi's home has a wall around it? Bob, Pelosi knows the newly elected radicals are planning to act like a bunch of clowns, and she's incapable of controlling them. That's why she doesn't want to have the State of the Union address at the Capitol. Yeah. Right. Bob, could you imagine a State of the Union speech by Trump in writing? Two words directed at Pelosi and Schumer. And I don't know, I'm just going to hazard a guess. Those two words would not be happy birthday. Okay. Bob, your comment about the angle of Drudge Report headlines lately, I've been thinking the same thing. Seems like it's gone on for almost a month now, so I spend less time looking at it. I check Breitbart much more often. Signed, Dave, on the trails at Paris Mountain, listening from the radio.com app. Thank you, Dave. And may I recommend to you another website that does the same thing that Drudge does, only I think is actually better. That is, they aggregate news stories from all over the place and put them in one spot for you, and that is WhatFinger, one word, WhatFinger.com. All right? And no, there's no dirty kind of connotation there. It's merely what they're referring to is thumbs up or thumbs down on the stories they have on there. Bob, I've noticed the same thing about Drudge. I wonder who got to them. Hated the news at the top of the hour about the lady who went to Mitch's office. Bet that was politically motivated. She'd never do that if Obama was still in office and she was supposedly about to lose her home. Tabitha from Greenville queries on the text line, "Hey, Bob, why are people showing up at Mitch McConnell's office and not Nancy Pelosi's?" Well, for one thing, because if they show up at Pelosi's office, I'm not sure if she's back from Hawaii or Puerto Rico or wherever. And secondarily, that's not going to be covered by the media. But the crying woman showing up at McConnell's office? Yeah, that's gold for the media. They're going to run that 24/7. Afternoon, Bobby Mack. The Democrats are so high on power and money and hate so blindly, they have no God in there. So sad. But it is another beautiful day in Greer. Bobby, what's your worst, most memorable on-air blunder? Boy, after 56 years, it's only a four-hour show for me to be able to recount the times. And fortunately, none of them really, really bad. Just, you know, like spoonerisms where things get reversed. Bobby, couldn't agree with you more. I've noticed that with Drudge lately myself. Gotcha. Bob, how did all these Democrats and all their lobbyist friends go to Puerto Rico? I thought Trump had not helped after the hurricane and everything there was still destroyed. It's a disaster. Right. Should have seen. Well, no, you shouldn't have seen. because it's one of those images that's hard to erase from your brain pan. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez out there in his Speedo on the beaches in Puerto Rico. Oh, spare me. 3:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Little Annie's ready to go in the news center, and I'm right back on the other side here on Hump Day. It is a musical imperative from Devo. Isn't that right, Moneypenny? Isn't that Devo? Yeah. You must whip it. Whip it good. 3:37, 23 before 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Dave Schwartz and Freedom Action Network of South Carolina joining me right after the news, top of the hour. Now, if you were listening to the closing minutes of Rush's show today, you may have heard a caller who was cut off by Rush in midstream. Not because Rush disagreed with what the caller was saying or because the caller was engaging in any kind of profanity or anything. No, it was much simpler than that. The caller had the temerity to mention the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, and the guidance they have on potential layoffs due to the partial shutdown and how it could lead to government employees being RIFed. RIF, the acronym for Reduction in Force. Now, I understand why Rush cut the caller off. He doesn't want to show all his cards here, and he's doing a nationally syndicated show with an audience that's huge. I, on the other hand, am in a smaller pond and am free to talk about this, I think, at my leisure. This all started with a piece from Thomas Lifson at The American Thinker, who pointed out, a new statement from the OMB provides cold comfort for federal bureaucrats worried that furloughs during the partial shutdown could become permanent layoffs, as long as Democrats refuse to give in and fund the border barrier. And Mr. Lifson wrote about this a couple of days ago in a piece he entitled Trump's Shutdown Trap. There will be no immediate layoffs, what the federal government calls reductions in force or RIFs, if and when the current partial shutdown passes the 30-day mark. And this is why Rush didn't want this guy talking about it on his show, because that doesn't happen for 4 more days. It's actually, I think it's 30 days, 22 working days. All right? Federal law requires RIFs, requires when federal employees are furloughed more than 30 days. But after the matter was raised and widely discussed, the OMB in Washington, not in media, right, the OMB issued a statement that indicates it would require an actual reorganization plan that would make furloughed positions permanently identified as unnecessary in order for the furloughs to be RIFed. Now, many, myself included, have posed the question when these partial government shutdowns happen, because they are for non-essential personnel. Well, all right. That leads to the next question. If these employees are non-essential to begin with, then why in the world are we paying them? Now, let them get out there with the rest of the great unwashed masses and find a job in the private sector. Agencies won't need to consider targeted layoffs, otherwise known as RIFs, if the current partial government shutdown continues for another few days, wrote Nicole Argisco at the Federal News Network. While federal statute typically instructs agencies to RIF targeted groups of employees who've been placed on furlough status for 30 days or more, the regulations don't apply to emergency furlough situations. This according to the OMB yesterday. Now, there are two kinds of furloughs. Administrative furloughs are planned events by an agency, designed to absorb reductions necessitated by downsizing, reduced funding, lack of work, or any other budget situation other than a lapse in appropriations. This according to the Office of Personnel Management. Shutdown furloughs, also called emergency furloughs, occur during lapses in appropriations. So this does not rule out the shutdown trap hypothesis that Mr. Lifson proposed earlier this week. It will take some time for reorganization plans to be prepared, but once they are revealed after the 30-day deadline is reached, the shutdown furloughs become administrative furloughs and RIFs, layoffs, are possible. In other words, firings. I quoted an anonymous senior Trump official yesterday who noted in the absence of bureaucrats with time on their hands and no inclination to help the Trump agenda, a lot is getting accomplished. As that process continues after the 30-day mark is reached, it will be possible to create a downsizing plan, identifying units that could easily get by with a fraction of their current staff or even be reorganized out of existence. Now, it wouldn't bother me in the least if they began with the Department of Energy that creates no energy, the Department of Education that educates no one. The head of the OMB is former South Carolina 5th District Congressman Mick Mulvaney. Currently, he does not have a lot of spare time serving as head of the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and as interim White House Chief of Staff, which is a pretty much full-time job in its own right. I think we'd all agree. But if he is on board, and why would he not be, he could well designate a team to prepare quick plans for downsizing now that the various agencies have seen how little they need so many of the furloughed bureaucrats. That would make the furloughs qualify for RIFs. Now, look, I get it. Of course, it would be a dispute on when the clock starts ticking on the 30 days when the original shutdown furlough or from the date of the hypothetical downsizing plan. But if it's the latter, a delayed start of the clock ticking, then the pressure on the Democrats to cave in and end the shutdown would ramp up. Imagine if Schumer and Pelosi started hearing from federal bureaucrats waiting to be riffed if another 30 days go by. And where do you think these people live? Arlington County, Virginia? Fairfax County, Virginia? Loudoun County, Virginia? Not to mention Montgomery County, Maryland, and all the other suburban counties surrounding D.C. Would Pelosi and Schumer be willing to say to them, well, it's more important to have no border barriers than it is for your job to be preserved? They would have a time bomb of layoffs of government employees, a huge Democrat constituency affecting many individual members of the House with large numbers of federal employee constituents. Can you imagine? Quite a few House Democrats bolting from Pelosi if she persists in the shutdown, refusing to talk or compromise. So Mr. Lifson concludes, if the plan is followed and a downsizing proposal is officially revealed, Trump either gets an end to the shutdown and as a result gets the border wall money or gets to downsize the federal bureaucracy. Have I said before that Pelosi and Schumer are playing checkers and Donald J. Trump is playing three-dimensional chess? Quarter before four here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. Boom, 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 boom. Pretty good bass line in there. 351, 9 before 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. In on my text line this afternoon, Bob, I'm a retired industrial electrician. When I was working, it was called ROF, R-O-F, Reduction of Force. But then I never worked for the government. If I had, I could have retired a lot sooner and with better benefits. Bobby Mac, don't you love draining the swamp? And no, I am not tired of winning.
Hoo-ah!
Me either. one of our Waze traffic spotters out there. Bobby, major traffic delay, 85 northbound, an accident at mile marker 53, 7 mile backup. Ouch. As Annie would say, avoid, avoid, avoid if you can. 85 northbound, accident, mile marker 53, backed up 7 miles. Bob, so why did Rush want to cut that guy off with this revelation about the rifts? Well, his explanation was that as soon as he starts talking about it on his hugely popular, nationally syndicated radio program, then the CNNs and the BSNBCs of the world start putting together their panels, immediately pleading with the American people, the horror, all these people losing their jobs, we must stop the rifts, right? Now, Bob, my father was a supervisor at the FAA when Reagan fired the air traffic controllers union, worked longer hours, but had the best on the job. Yeah, it was PATCO, Professional Air Traffic Controllers, their union. Bob, got to have that real ID. Yes, sir, if you're a real American. But if you're an illegal, you don't need anything because we don't need to know who you really are, right? Bob, I truly believe the president of the United States should be able to tell the people in this country the State of the Union, even if he has to go to a stadium or our gymnasium to tell it. Pelosi's worried about her own embarrassment. Bobby, I too am listening via the radio.com app from L.A. Thank you for listening to us out there in the Golden State today. A.K.A. Lower Anderson. That L.A. Oh, that L.A. Sorry, my bad. Bobby, I saw a sign pick from Dearborn, Michigan, for the advancement of Islamic agenda in America. And it read, "Death to America. There is nothing you can do to stop it. Praise Allah. We've got to focus on this Muslim invasion before we become Europe." We are headed down that road. Bobby Mack, off to walk Buddy, my golden retriever. As always, love your show and hats off to Moneypenny. There you go. Bobby, I did see that picture you referenced, New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez in his beach attire in Puerto Rico decided to use hand sanitizer in my eyes to try and get the image out. By the way, for millennials, that was a joke. Get it? That's a joke. Do not put that in your eyes. Oh, speaking of the millennials and all that stuff, the blowback against Gillette and Procter & Gamble has been enormous. And I had seen the name, and it's a name that I'm assuming is a fellow who is of Indian extraction. As they say, Indian with a dot, not with a feather. That was the guy at Gillette who heads up that division. But I wanted to do a little bit deeper dive. Unfortunately, on one of the websites I look at, and it may have been American Thinker, I believe it was, there was a story today about the individual responsible for this virtue signaling, all men are rapists, Gillette theme of the new ads that they put out, which they're catching tremendous abuse for. Turns out the individual behind this Gillette ad that essentially accuses all men of being misogynists or worse, rapists, is a feminist activist at Gray Advertising named Kim Gehrig, like Lou Gehrig. And she's done some ads similar to this for feminine products in Europe that have raised eyebrows. By the way, the only people that are praising this ad are within the advertising community itself. I mean, you don't often win a lot of new customers by insulting them, which apparently Gillette thinks, but look, are they getting $1 billion worth of free advertising out of this? Yeah. And back in the day, Frank Sinatra used to say he didn't care what the newspapers printed about him as long as they spelled his name right. And the point he was making was, you know, all publicity is good publicity, but it's not. Not when it's this kind of stuff. They're killing their own base. They're insulting their own consumers. Now, Bob, when it comes to text line, when it comes to occasional cortex, I'm still waiting for that occasion when she uses her brain. And I believe that does catch me up. Yep, catches me up with the text line, and not a moment too soon, because hour number one is fleeting. Hour number two, which leads off with my friend Dave Schwartz from Freedom Action Network of South Carolina, he's going to bring us up to date on the SCDOT's pothole blitz. Wow.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.